Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
Let's do a quick review of last week, first of all. We learned last week that offense has two stages. The first stage is when we feel offended, and the second stage is when we live offended. Feeling offended is not the same as living offended. The second thing that we learned last week was that everyone feels offended by something or someone on a regular basis, right? And what we are likening that feeling to is when someone pours us a glass of offense. That's what we're calling feeling offended. Like we look at it and we go, that ain't right. Like, what? Why did you do that? Why did you say that? Where'd that come from? And that's like right in front of us. But living offended is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Are you getting the difference? The third thing that we said is that just because you have the right to be offended doesn't mean that you should. I taught you out of the book of Galatians. I read you a scripture last week where the Apostle Paul says, hey, you're free. Like, you're free. You're not in the legalism and so forth of the law. And he's talking to Christians, and you're free, like, to make some choices here. You're at liberty to do some things that, you know, other people might not feel are right or appropriate, et cetera, et cetera. Christ has made us free. But he appeals then, and he says, don't use your freedom in a way that leads you into bondage. But he says, use your freedom to be free and to keep being free and to press into more freedom in your life. And you can use your freedom, is what he's saying, in a way that turns you into a victim. You can use your freedom, for example, to drink anything that you want to drink in a way that leads you to an addiction, or take anything you want to take that leads you into an addiction. And it's the same principle on a spiritual level, is that you can use your freedom to be offended and live offended, but he's appealing to us and saying, don't use that freedom that way. You're free to do it, but I'm just suggesting you don't. Are you getting this? So chances are, let me just say this to everyone on this weekend, that you're living offended in some area of your life today. If I don't say that, some of you will just simply assume that this message is for someone else, when it's actually for you. And so, like, high percentage chance that you are living offended in some area of your life right now, and that it's having a negative effect on you. As a woman, you might be living with an offense toward men, for example. And somebody served you up something that wasn't right. It was so wrong. And you might have been mistreated and abused by a male or more than one in your life. And now it's generalized for you. And you're living with an offense towards men. You might be living with an offense toward people in authority in your life for similar reasons. Maybe something happened to you, a school teacher, a person in authority, authority figure in your life, somewhere back down the life and the road of experience. And now you're just anyone who's in authority, you got an issue immediately with anyone who might be over you. Or you could be an employee today living in an offense towards your company. You might even be a believer in Christ today living with an offense toward the church. You're offended at the church. And the problem with that one specifically is that you're created for community. You are formed for family. God has put all of us into the church. We belong in the church. The church is God's idea. And so if we're offended at the church, then we're going to be distant to the church, and we're going to build barriers between us and the church. And God's plan for our life can never fully be realized or understood because we carry an offense towards the church. You might be living in offense right now at people who are of a different race than you are. I want that one just to settle. You could be offended by people who have more money than you do. And it might spill out of you when you get around people who are doing better than you're doing in that way in their life. Like, you might have something to say about that. You might have a remark about that. You might comment about that. About all rich people are this way. You know, they go to our church. I don't see how they can go to church and be Christians and drive that car. You know, whatever it is. Like, you got issues. The problem with living offended is that it doesn't hurt someone else, it hurts you. They don't suffer loss, you do. I'm talking about drinking the poison. I'm talking about drinking it and thinking it's going to hurt somebody else. They don't suffer loss, you do. They don't get stuck in bitterness, you do. That other person doesn't live with your envy, your anger, your jealousy, it's all yours. And many of them have moved on in their life, may not even know they offended you, may not realize they were a part of an offense that you still carry, and it irritates you, it grows inside of you, you've now made a mountain out of a molehill. Are you getting what I'm saying today? It's not hurting other people, it's hurting you, and that's why I appeal to you in this series, don't drink the poison. Don't drink the poison. Don't drink the poison. And if you've already drank the poison, we're not done with this series yet. We're going to help you with the detox. Come on, God can set you free. You can make a choice and God will make the change. You will be surprised, in fact, at the powerful, liberating power that still exists for those who believe and for those who receive. And for those who tap into it, you will be amazed. Like, if you've never made the choices and made the decisions that lead to your liberty and your freedom from something spiritual in nature, by the end of this series, I just hope that you will experience the profound power of God to liberate souls and to set people free who have been captive and have been in prison, and who have been under the domain of a pressure, a power, an offense in your life to get set free from those circumstances, you will be amazed at the power and the potential for your own freedom that God actually gives and provides and supplies to us today. Somebody shout, wow. Maybe you would say, well, what is that, Pastor Kevin? Well, how do I know? Well, if you're overly sensitive, that's a clue. If you're critical, that's a clue. If you have a history of bad relationships, that's a clue. If you struggle to stay on the same path, that's a clue. To be consistent, always see other people as a problem, well, that's the clue. You might want to call the poison hotline and say, I need some help. I need heaven's help. I need to get free. So today I want to talk to you about one of the most toxic forms of offense, and that is what I call unfulfilled expectations. Unfulfilled expectations. Did we pray already? Yeah. Your heart's open, right? Yeah. Should we pray again? Should we say it one more time? Are you ready for this today?
Yes.
Come on, are you ready?
Yes.
Matthew 11. Let me give you a little background. John the Baptist is in prison. It's not fun for him. And in verse 2, it says, and by the way, he's in prison for preaching and teaching Christ. And here's what it says. John had heard in prison about the works of Christ. So he sent two of his disciples and he said to Jesus, through those messengers, are you the coming one or do we look for another? Jesus answered and he said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and you see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And here it is, verse 6. And blessed is he. Tell John for me. Tell John. I'm going to help some people today. I'm so excited about this message for some of you right now. Tell John this. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Now, I want to paraphrase this line, okay? And the inferred message of this text. Here's how I want you to think about it. Jesus said to John, blessed is he who is not offended because of something I'm doing or not doing that seems unfair or inconsiderate to him. It's safe to make the assumption that John the Baptist, who has done so much for Jesus, proclaimed him as the one, fearlessly preached him to the crowds of people who gathered, in fact, used and leveraged his own influence toward those who followed him to point them toward Jesus. It's safe to assume, because of what Jesus says here, that now John the Baptist has been put in prison and he's heard Jesus is in town and there's a lot of celebration going on. While he's in a dark, dirty dungeon, Jesus is in the spotlight. And it's safe to assume that John is in a place right now where he's going, hello, hello, remember me? Your buddy John the Baptist. You remember, right? Like I'm over here and you're Jesus. You could literally get me out of this right now. Like you could walk over here or not walk over here. You could speak the word and I could be out of here tonight. He's lonely, feeling forgotten, and based on the words of Jesus, he's offended. Can anybody here this weekend relate to John the Baptist? Can you, let's get honest. Let honesty fill the house today. Can anybody relate? Like, let me ask you this. Have you ever had someone around you blessed in ways that you felt you should be blessed? And did it bother you? Did it seem unfair to you? Have you ever thought that you deserve something from someone and they weren't giving it to you? Like support, encouragement, trust, opportunity. The number one reason that people live offended is unfulfilled expectations. And those expectations come to us in three glasses. The first one is unspoken expectations. Unspoken expectations. Jesus didn't tell John that he would never be imprisoned. Jesus didn't say, hey, if you'll proclaim me, preach me, baptize me, you'll never spend a day in trouble. You'll never have problems or adversity. Jesus never said that. He never said that to John. But it's really easy for anyone to feel offended when we feel like someone could do something for us to help us, and they don't. Those expectations are the glass that gets put in front of us, and then it talks to us. And here's what it says. It says, they could if they would, and they should. They could write a check and help me if they would. They could refer my business to all of their friends if they would. They could get behind my ministry. They could let me sing in church. They never heard anybody sing like I sing. I light that place up. They could if they would. They could let me speak, help me sell my book. They could if they would. Loan me the money. Let me borrow the car. Let me stay in their house. I'm having hard times. They could let me stay in the house. They could. They could. At least call me. Has anybody ever noticed, like, that people, lots of people expect things from others that they don't do themselves? Anybody ever notice that? You know, like, hey man, how come you haven't called me? Well, last time I checked, I didn't see your number lighting up my phone. Come up and talk to me. How come you didn't talk to me at church? Well, last time I saw you, you were walking down the hall. You went the other way. You haven't found me. That's just a little side note. Isn't it funny, though, how people expect things sometimes from others they don't do themselves? This expectation thing is a huge part of offense. I mean, they could at least visit me in the hospital. They could if they would. And they should. I can't afford that conference. I got 4 kids that need to come, Team Church Conference. They could let us come free, and they could if they would. It's so quiet in church today. I think we're in a place where we all understand, and we live here a lot, don't we? Like, we get served this whole big fat glass of entitlement. And it tells us in our face, you deserve that from them. They owe that to you. They ought to do that for you. They could loan you that money. You could stay in their house. They could give you a ride. Like, how come they haven't offered to do that? How come, like, why don't they do that for you? Unspoken expectations are like a marketing campaign. And if you're not aware of it, like, you just kind of flow in with it. Like, you the dialogue starts and you're like, yeah, and you're gulping down that poison. And you copping your attitude. And they didn't call you, now you're upset. They didn't look you up, now you're upset at them. They didn't help you when you needed help, now you're upset at them. And all it is, like, they never promised to help you in that way. They never said that, hey, when you don't have a place to sleep, I'll give you one. They never said that. But it's not only with people that we do this. We do this with God. And there's a lot of people that get offended with God in the same way. They hit trouble in their life, and they're like John in prison. And they're like, hey, now understand, John was so sold on Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, that he risked his life to preach about him. Now he's sending out a messenger saying, are you really who you say you are? See, that's what an offense will do. It will get you so torqued. It'll turn your rationale upside down. It'll cause you to be so unreasonable and so irrational. When you get into a place and a space and a time in your life where you drink that poison, like your soul starts to get corrupted with all kinds of venom and toxin, and you're saying things that you wouldn't have said a few months before, and you're doing things that you wouldn't have done a year before, but now you've drank the poison and you're walking in the offense. And that's why when Jesus is in this position, he had that one little line. And we'll go back to it later, but I want to tell all of you today, when you hit trouble as a Christian, as a believer, just remember, Jesus didn't tell you wouldn't have trouble. He never told you wouldn't have problems. He never told you you weren't going to have a valley and a difficult season in your life. Come on. Don't allow yourself to get disturbed and upset and somehow blame God or think, you know, God, if you're really who you are, how come you're not coming in and swooping down and rescuing me? Don't allow yourself to get into a position like that. Rather, take a step back. Don't drink the poison. And began to understand that in all things, God works for the good. He might not rescue you, but he's still who he says he is in your life. The second glass we get served. Is everybody okay? Everybody good? Are you glad you're in church today? The second one is unmet expectations. And this is the glass. It's a little different than unspoken. This is the glass people serve you when they said or did something that was wrong, or at least you felt was wrong. I talked a lot about this again last week. You have the right. You have the right. There are situations where you were wronged in your life, and you have the right to feel offended. I felt offended this week when a TV personality, a national TV personality, insinuated that anybody who claims to receive guidance from God has mental illness. I felt offended. Like, I'm like, I'm gonna tell you right now. You serve me that, like, I welcome you to a debate any day. Yeah, that's why you are who you are, and I'm who I am, because God talks to me. I listen when God talks. You don't listen there. I was all. In my imagination, I was all up in her face. And I just said it was a her. That was just clue number one. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to drop clues. But, you know, after I settled down a little bit, I then started watching the story, and I heard more media people who are believers who are also feeling the offense start coming out and declaring themselves. And I'm starting to smile now. I'm starting to smile like I heard one media person say, you know what? I don't go around and make people uncomfortable with it and all of that. I try to respect everybody else, but this is too much for me. I'm just going to tell everybody right now that I am a believer, and I pray every day, and I believe that God guides me and directs me and opens up doors for me and orders my steps. And so I was like, there you go. There you go. Like, in all things, if I can keep my mouth shut, not drink the poison, in all things, God works for good. Come on, if I can stay out of the battle, God will fight my battle. And that doesn't mean that what a person did was right. It just means if I can stay out of it, and not drink the poison, and keep my heart pure, and not live offended. When I'm served a big glass, I look at it, I'm irritated by it, I'm upset, but if I can go on and move on and say, devil, not today, I'm not going to drink that stuff. Come on, God will do battle on my behalf. Let's give the Lord a great big hand. Can we do that? Let's just celebrate God's goodness in our life. And by the way, let me just tell you, some of you are like, the reason I don't forgive people, Pastor Kevin, is because of what they did to me, and it's very real, and I can never trust them again. And I want to say to all of you, there's a difference in trust and forgiveness. And if you haven't understood this, write this one down today. You can forgive people and not trust them. And I would recommend, in fact, if someone has breached your trust, if someone has stolen from you, if someone has claimed to be a friend to you, but they have not really been a friend to you, I would recommend that as you forgive them, that you not trust them again at the level where they breached confidence. You don't have to do that. You're not supposed to do that. But you do have to forgive them. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't have to trust them, but you have to forgive them. And really the reason for forgiving is not only because Jesus teaches us to, but the bigger reason that he even teaches us to is because we cannot trust them, but when we forgive them, we're keeping the poison from having a place in our soul. We're saying, you know what? It ain't worth that. I'm not going to lose sleep over this. I'm not going to let this affect me, because it affects me, affects my marriage, affects my children. I know what this stuff can do to somebody. I've seen plenty of irritated, mad, angry people around the world today, and I'm not going to live that way. So yeah, maybe I don't trust them, but I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to let it go, because I'm not going to let that toxin be in my life. Like when everybody else is sitting around social drinking with their favorite offense, like, I'm not joining in the conversation. I'm not joining in the conversation. Like, they're sitting there. You know, there's people, by the way, that's what they do. Every time they get together, they have social drinks. Like, all the offenses, and, you know, if you're one of those people and you're looking around you and all your friends, that's what you do when you get together. I just want to warn you right now, like there's healthy people that God would love to put in your life, but they can't come into your life right now, because when they get around you, they're like, whoa, yeah, you don't like that, and you don't like that, and you don't like them, and you, whoa, God bless you and keep you, may his face shine upon you. I got to go find someone else to have lunch with today, because that is toxic. Right? We're not going to have no soap. Like, you can set up all the glasses and you can have yourself some drink, but I ain't joining into that. Third glass. Everybody okay? Everybody learning? Everybody getting better? Not going to leave here like we came, in Jesus' name. Amen? Third glass. Unspoken expectations, a met expectation, now we have unrealistic expectations. This is the glass you have in front of you. Listen carefully. When you presume to know more than you could possibly know and you pass judgment on it. So if you've never owned a business, then you don't know what it's like to own a business. And I know the business is always, the performance isn't that great when you're a customer or a client, right? But if you've never owned a business, then you don't know what all a business owner faces. And I'm not saying you have to continue to do business with people. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying that sometimes people go too far and they drink it in. And they cop attitudes when they ought to be creating some margin for what they don't know. Like, it's not easy to find good help these days. Business owners are looking for really good people. That we have business owners in our church, and the number one thing I hear is, where do you find really good people you can really trust? And I don't mean just not to steal money. I mean to represent you well, even when you're not around. So a lot of times you're dealing with people who are employees. They're not owners. And the truth is, they may not be working there next month. But rather than you getting all bent out of shape at the company, like I deal with this with airline industry. That's my glass all the time. Like I fly, I'm like a 4 million mile flyer right now. So I'm always on airplanes, and it's really like it really late again. Why can't you guys keep a schedule? Like I have a life, I have a family, I want to get home. And you're delayed again. But then I have to remind myself, I've never owned an airline. I don't know the safety challenges. I don't know the weather challenges. I don't know when a pilot might get sick and he's scheduled to fly and then they got to replace him with a new. I don't know. Like, so I can feel it, but I got to back up. I got to create some kind of margin here and give some kind of grace here. Are you following me? Come on, look at somebody and say, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Okay, I want to talk a little bit more. I've never served in the military. I've never served in the government. Like, it's really easy as people who don't serve in the government to really be angry with the government and ask why they don't do something. But I've never served in the government. So, Pastor Kevin, are you saying that we don't have expectations of them? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying don't drink the poison. I'm just saying if that starts filling your vocabulary, you're always grumbling about it, and you're obsessed with how wrong everything is, then you back up a minute. Because there's things that none of us really understand about other people's life and other people's scenarios. And what are if you're not a single mom, you don't know what it's like to be a single mom. I've had young people look at me and say, Pastor Kevin, you don't know what it's like to be 14 years old. I'm like, well, no, wait a minute. Let's do our math here. I did pass that way one time. Like, but you're right. It's been a long time ago. And it was in a completely different place. And I don't know. So while I'm expecting you to behave like I want you to behave, the truth is that I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know where you've been. I don't know how you've been treated. I don't know what your dad might have told you or said. I don't know. And the best thing for me to do is when that glass gets served up to me to where I could be irritated, upset, mad at whoever or whatever, is to back up a little bit and to just say, wow, there's stuff about that I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what it's like for you to sit in a church that I pastor. And you don't know what it's like to pastor you. Somebody wrote a book recently. I think I'm going to get it right. The title is something like, What's It Like to Be Married to Me? Great question. For every person to ask yourself, like, because you're always like, you know what it's like to be married to him, but chances are you don't know what it's like to be married to you. Come on. On days where I'm navigating my way into places like this of maybe you could call it confrontation or whatever, I feel like sometimes we ought to just break out in a song of I love you and you love me and God's banner over me is love or something like that. Just to make sure that we all understand that we are human beings and we are in this human form today with all sorts of challenges that we're, and I'm just like you and I get it. But God help us to look for higher ways and greater ways, and to be thankful when truth walks into our life and truth is spoken to us in ways that we need to hear it and receive it. Amen. I'm in pretty good shape, and I exercise about 5 days a week, I eat good, pretty good. Oh, my wife's in the service. I eat really good when my wife is around. I eat really good. But this past week, I changed my routine. And in other words, I work out, and I'm strong, and I'm healthy. But this week, I exercised some other muscles by changing my routine. And today, I am very sore. I'm standing here, but when I walked up the steps to get here, my legs were screaming at me. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because it's very possible that many of you are doing an awesome job with your life right now. Like, you are doing an amazing job. And you are to be commended for who you are and what you've achieved and the muscles that you've exercised to be a great dad, a great mom, a great teenager, a great student. You are to be applauded for the muscle that you have exercised of achievement to get where you are, to be the Christian that you are, to be resolute about being a Christ follower. And even when your whole family maybe hasn't followed Christ, you made the choice. And you are to be commended for that today. And you are to be celebrated. Go ahead, you clap your hands. We ought to be celebrating one another in all of our progress and all of our growth and all of our victory. But I just had this thought when the soreness was screaming at me. I had this thought, you know, there's muscles that this muscle I'm talking about in particular that maybe some of you haven't exercised. And although you've exercised a lot of other muscles, maybe the muscle that pushes through a fence has not been exercised on a regular basis in your own life like it ought to be. Maybe you've thought that, well, that's up to God, or maybe you've thought, well, that's not right, and I'm not going to compromise. Maybe you've thought all kinds. But here's the deal, is that God has given you the power to live above offense. You do not have to live offended. I said you do not have to live offended. But Pastor, you don't know what? Wait, stop. Be quiet a minute. You do not have to live offended. You can feel offended, but you don't have to live offended. You have the power, and God's given you the ability to rise above and transcend anything that would come at you in your life and to pass on the opportunity. To just say, I'm going to pass on that opportunity. I could live offended, but I don't choose to live offended. I've seen too many people angry. I've seen too many people mad. I've seen too many people bitter. I don't want to go there. I don't want to live that way. I want joy in my life. I want peace in my life. I want encouragement in my life. I want my marriage to be healthy. I want my home to be full of worship and honor and goodness. I want to live thankful for all the good. I want my children to grow up in a healthy atmosphere, not hearing my poison that drips out of my soul. I refuse to drink the poison. Because like Jesus said to John, I'm going back to that. Jesus shot the words, I'm almost done, guys, but hear me out. He shot the words over the bow of the ship that day. And he just added that one little line. And tell John, blessed is he who is not offended by what he thinks I should do that I'm not doing. Blessed. Remind him. He didn't say, tell John I'll be right there. I got two more miracles to work. I'm going to head down to the jail. I'll be over there. And he didn't do that. Blessed is he who, when he goes through a trial, through a struggle, through a tribulation, he keeps his heart from being offended. Blessed is he who says, I will not, come on, I will not. And I believe that's the word of God for all of us in this season, is to realize that you can, but that doesn't mean you should be. You might have a right, that doesn't mean it's going to help you. You could build your case, but you're only going to build your own struggle in life. You're only going to create and fabricate more problems for yourself. So blessed is he who says, I will not. Not one more day, not one more week, PK. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go, Pastor Kevin. I am not going to allow it to stay in my heart. I'm not going to allow it to stay in my soul. I'm not going to hold that any longer against that person, that church, that organization. I'm getting past it. I'm going to be free in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select Give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.